Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Iraq must be free to chart its own course.
Forming the government as quickly as possible.
I heard the blast, actually. I have no idea where it happened.
We are in a race against the time.
It turns out that the American people, they let me use this plane called Air Force One, and so I thought I'd come over and say hello.
A busy agenda this morning, as so much is in motion right at the beginning of the week. There's the president right there in Afghanistan, surprise weekend visit in advance of what is expected to be the main surge of troops into Kandahar and the Taliban strongholds there. And before the president left, he announced a major agreement on nuclear weapons reductions with the Russians.
By upholding our own commitments under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, we strengthen our global efforts to stop the spread of these weapons and to ensure that other nations meet their own responsibilities.
Almost buried in these stories, on Saturday, Iraq announced a new government with a potential new prime minister. He's an old face, though, Iyad Alawi.
We hope to enthrone this achievement by forming the government as quickly as possible, a government that is capable of providing security from one side and to offer the appropriate services to its people on the other side.
And, of course, we have the terrorism in Moscow this morning. Lots to talk about. Joining us now, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
And Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent, joining us from London. Good morning, Jonathan.
Yes, good morning to you.
So, Marcus Mabry, let me begin with you. The president, moments after health care, it seemed, was off the table, is suddenly embarks on an enormously varied foreign policy agenda. How well is the president doing in really putting his critics to rest by raising the profile of nukes and the Russians, the situation in Afghanistan?
Well, you know, this is the Barack Obama victory tour this week. And so what we're seeing right now is in foreign policy. We'll see it as the week goes on. Excuse me, in foreign policy and as well as in domestic policy as well. So you got nukes, you got Afghanistan. You're going to have him with his good buddy, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, this week, you know, making common cause on Iran. So there's, you know, this is just the beginning. He's going to actually take this win on health care and stroll it around the globe and domestic issues for a while.
Jonathan Marcus, it really looks as though Barack Obama is taking very seriously what was written in his Nobel Peace Prize. It was all about nuclear nonproliferation. That seems to be a foreign policy centerpiece. Does it play going forward?
It's an important first step in what is obviously a very ambitious nuclear agenda that the president has set out. In the coming weeks, there's the Nuclear Security Summit in Washington. There's a review conference of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the main foundation of efforts to stem the spread of nuclear weapons around the world. And this will obviously set the scene very well for those two meetings. The problem is that I think it's far too early to talk of a reset in U.S.-Russia relations. The Russians wanted this treaty as well, not least because their nuclear arsenal is diminishing. It's getting older. They wanted arsenal set pegged at a lower level. So they wanted this deal. Whether Russia in the months and years to come is willing to move forward with the very ambitious kind of new strategic reductions treaty that is President Barack Obama's fundamental goal clearly remains to be seen.
And Jonathan Marcus, the war on terror, or so-called war on terror, may complicate all this. This morning, the subway bombings in Moscow, we recall during the Bush administration how the war on terror seemed to be a pretext for Vladimir Putin to be very, very brutal in Chechnya. What do you think the complications are here for Russia and Barack Obama if there's a significant retaliation on the part of Moscow?
Well, I kind of lost the end of your question there, but I think I can probably
you lost it because infer. I was unclear, or you just didn't hear me?
No, I just didn't hear you, but I can infer what you were saying.
Because a lot of people say, you know, John, get to the point, for heaven's sake.
No.
It happens all the time.
Don't worry. It's purely technical. Look, I think clearly what's happened in Moscow is very shocking. Clearly, I think Western European governments, the American administration, is going to see this as putting Russia very much into the anti-terrorist camp, as it were, that they share common concerns about these sorts of phenomena. It's embarrassing for the Russian government because they, I think, thought they were getting a handle on things in the North Caucasus, which is probably where this problem emanated from. The difficulty, of course, is that the Russians tend to not see things exactly in the same way as Western governments in this whole counter-terrorist area. If you remember when Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in Russia recently, the Russians were announcing at the same time that they're going ahead with the nuclear reactor for Iran. So clearly not necessarily reading from the same playbook, though clearly a very shocking and disturbing event.
Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent there in London. Marcus Mabry, Iraq forming a new government. Iyad Alawi is going to be prime minister. Is this over and done with? I mean, is this fading in significance? It seems as though the White House is saying they're going to handle that on their own.
The White House certainly hopes that's the case. It probably, you know, look, the problem here is that it could take them up to 4 months or even longer to actually form a government. Iyad Alawi, of course, who in the past has been smeared in Iraq as an American puppet, someone who was brought in when the coalition government first came in under the Bush administration. So it's kind of a return for him. But, you know, he just barely won, barely squeaked out over Nouri al-Maliki, the current prime minister. And again, he's nowhere near the number of seats it needs in the parliament to actually have a working coalition. So he's going to have to It's going to take a long time to build this coalition. It could be months in the making. In the meantime, al-Maliki is going to be the caretaker prime minister. That is a recipe for instability, and not good for America's eventual pullout.
Finally, Marcus, let me rely on your expertise as international business editor. A milestone will pass this week. At the end of the month, the Federal Reserve will allegedly stop buying mortgage-backed securities, which is supposedly what's holding up the entire housing market. If they stop doing that, are mortgages going to stop? Are closings going to go away? Or is the housing market going to be affected?
It will be affected. The question is, we don't know to what extent. We're talking $1.25 trillion of mortgage-backed securities. They've been helping out, keeping rates low. Rates are certainly going to rise, that's for sure. They're going to rise anyway because of the huge amount of borrowing that the government does.
But a big milestone, maybe not so big all of a sudden. Marcus Mabry.
It will not be catastrophe.
Thanks so much. International business editor for our partner, The New York Times. Also, Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent, joining us from London. Coming up on the show, is fat a dirty word? No, it's just a three-letter word. But it's the topic of today's family segment later on in the hour.